Amen. Good morning. It's great to be back with you. We had a great time visiting with the kids, and Cindy spoiled the grandkids tremendously. You know, she does that. I can't stop her. But we had a great time. It's good to be away, but it's always good to be back with you. We missed you while we were gone. Believe it or not, we really did. I'm excited about today, and you know, everything I've been focusing on over the last couple of months has really been leading up to today and us beginning this new study on Not a Fan. And I want to share a couple of thoughts with you before we really get into the message about what this is really all about, because I want to make sure that you understand why this is so important and why it's important to me. And it's because this is more than just a Bible study. It's more than just a looking at some passages in the Bible and so forth. It's a challenge more than anything. It's a challenge for us to really look into ourselves, every single one of us. And believe me, this has challenged me over the last couple of months to really take a good hard look at myself. It's a challenge to look at ourselves and to ask probably one of the most important questions that we will ever ask ourselves. And that question is, am I a fan of Jesus or am I a completely committed follower of Him? That's a vitally important question. I'm really praying that this study is going to do a couple of things. Number one, that it will confirm our confidence, your confidence in being a follower of Jesus. But also at the same time that it will convince you to reevaluate your relationship with Jesus and where it is. And that's what I'm really hoping that we as a church family can accomplish through this effort, to really look at and to see where we are in our relationship with Jesus. And just a reminder to you that beginning next Sunday evening, we will start the 6-part video study series, 6 o'clock each evening for the next 6 weeks. If you have not pledged already to be here for those 6 Sundays in a row, there are pledge cards out on the table. I urge you to get one. Pledge to be here. The reason for the pledge, by the way, is because I know that Satan does not want you to be here, okay? And he's going to provide all kinds of reasons why you can't be here each Sunday night. And I'm hoping that if you make a pledge and you write on the top part, sign the pledge, and tear off the bottom part and take it with you, that pledge will help you to overcome the temptation that Satan is going to put before you. To say, oh no, you don't want to go today. You don't really feel like going. You got something more important to do. That just the fact that you made that pledge will give you the edge to make yourself be here so that you won't miss out on those things. So I want to encourage you to do that. Now, also along that line, I do know that there are some of our members here who are not able to be here in the evening. Some people that work, and some of our elderly members that just don't get out and drive at night and so forth. We haven't decided when that's going to be yet, but we will be offering a daytime viewing of the 6-part video so that those who can't be here in the evening can come during the day and to be able to watch that. Also, I have journals that go along with this study. They're daily personal journals. That you can use, and I've ordered a bunch of those. They should be here. Hopefully, they'll be here this week coming up. And so some of you have already signed up for a journal. Those will be here. If you would like to have a journal and you haven't signed up for one, please let me know. Okay, and we'll have those ready. So let's talk about whether or not we are fans or whether we are followers. We have brother and sister in Christ that we met when we first moved to South Carolina, the church there. And they were, I imagine they probably still are, Tom and Marilyn Jackson, are season ticket holders to the South Carolina Gamecocks football games. And we had the occasion twice that they invited us to go with them to see the college football games. So I don't know if you realize this or not, but William Bryce Stadium, which is the home of the South Carolina Gamecocks, holds 80,250 people. Okay? So on these occasions, we're there in the stands with all of these 80,000 plus. That's just seats, by the way. That's not all the people, the students that are standing wherever you can stand. 80,000 plus people that are all screaming, "We're number one." Okay? "We're number one." Have you ever been, shouting for your team like that? You see? "We're number one." And then you begin to realize there's roughly about 125 players on a college football team. So there's 80,000 plus people in the stands. They're the fans and they're doing all this cheering. But there's only 125 players, and not even all of them at any given game are actually on the field laying it on the line and sacrificing, say, in that game. But yet, as fans, we sit in the stand and we say, "We're number one," when we didn't really do anything except watch. Okay? That's one of the differences between fans and followers. Fans sit in the stand and they watch and they cheer and they shout and they claim success and victory for themselves. But followers are the ones who are actually on the field laying it down on the line. When I was in high school, I played soccer. I went to a very small high school. There were only 125 guys in the whole school. And we didn't have a football team because we were too small, but soccer was our sport. And I played soccer 1 year. I tried out for the team, and I made it, barely. I was not a great player. I was probably average at playing soccer. And I enjoyed playing the game, but to be honest with you, I really didn't like playing the whole game. I did that almost the whole game one time, and I was exhausted. I liked playing soccer, but I didn't like to practice. I liked the idea of being on the team, and I got a letter on my letter jacket for that, and I was part of the team, and I got to travel with the team and all of that kind of stuff. But I like to play a little bit and get out and maybe play a quarter and so forth, but that whole game stuff, that just, that wasn't really for me. And I think that sometimes that's what happens to Christians, is that we want to play some, but we're not really totally committed, to really be in the game that we call life, totally and completely committed to it. Where we're willing to lay it on the line and to make the sacrifices and to do the hard work and so forth. I think sometimes it's kind of like I was with soccer in high school. It's fun to play some, but I really wasn't totally committed to it. Christianity was never intended by Jesus to be a spectator sport. But yet I'm afraid that oftentimes that's what we've turned it into. That we kind of like the idea of watching and observing the principal players be involved, and we stand and cheer them on. But yet how involved are we and how willing are we to sacrifice and to lay it on the line? You see, for what Jesus has called us to do. You see, followers lay down their lives in this game called life, but fans don't make those kind of sacrifices. Instead, they watch and cheer, and they're content to do that. But Jesus did not call you and I to be cheerleaders. He called upon us to be followers and to take up our cross daily and to follow Him. Luke 9 and verse 23. And there's a big difference between those who sit in the stands and cheer and to wave the big number one finger, you know, and those who are actually on the field involved in the game. Let me ask you to turn over to the book of Hebrews for just a moment and notice something that the writer of Hebrews tells us that I think just fits perfectly to what we're talking about here. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The writer here, and keep in mind that he's just through verse chapter 11, rather, we tend to look at this and we call this the great faith chapter. And it's, you know, all of these people from the Bible of great faith. And notice how he refers to them. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and the witnesses are those people of great faith he's just talked about, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you see what He's telling us here? We've got this great crowd of witnesses, this cloud that's kind of there watching what we're doing, because there was a time in the past that they were the ones who were on the field. But now it's our turn. And he said they're witnessing. There are a cloud of witnesses that are watching us. And notice the language that he uses here. What he's telling us here is not a description of fans. It's not the ones who are sitting up in the stands watching. He says, let us throw off everything. You say, everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and then do what? Run with perseverance. He's talking about a race. And he's telling us we're the ones who are supposed to be the runners in this race, not the ones in the stands that are just cheering on other runners. We're the runners. That's follower language, not fan language. You see? And so as we consider this whole concept of being a follower of Jesus, we've got to understand the difference between being in the stands and being on the field. And that brings us to the main point that I want us to focus on this morning, and that's the, and some of you, those of you who have seen the main video that we watched, you know, he talks about the DTR talk. And you guys know what that is. It's define the relationship. That's what DTR stands for. Define the relationship. And you know, when you think about relationships, I think every relationship really needs to be defined, doesn't it? You know, we need to define the relationship in terms of, you know, that we have with different people, and it's okay. We have different kinds of relationships with different people. Some of our relationships are just simply casual. You know, we have casual friendship, relationship. We have acquaintances. And then we have those relationships where we have serious, you know, friendships or whatever the case may be. But each one of those is different, aren't they? And it's important for us to be able to define the relationship so that we know if this is just a casual relationship between the two of us, that's what we both want and need out of it. That's all it is. We don't expect any more. But if the relationship is one that's supposed to be much more serious, we need to understand what the terms of that relationship is. And so I want you to think about this particular question. How would you define today your relationship with Jesus? Would you define it, in other words, that as maybe it's just kind of a casual friendship? Or would you define your relationship with Jesus as being more of an acquaintance type of relationship? Yeah, we're acquainted with one another, but it doesn't really go much beyond that. Or would you describe and define your relationship with Jesus as one where it is a serious, committed relationship? How would you define your relationship with Jesus? Let me cause you to think about it this way for a moment. Suppose that, 34 years ago, I think I have that right, 34 years ago when I proposed to Cindy, I went to her and I asked her, and I said to her, look, Cindy, I love you with all my heart, and I really want us to spend the rest of our lives together. That sounds pretty good, right? But then let's suppose that then I said, but here's the thing. I'm committed to spend every weekend with you. Okay, because during the week, Monday through Friday, I'm going to be working really hard so that I can support us. You see? But then every evening except one during the week, I'm going to be out hanging with my friends and my buddies, and doing guy stuff. But one of those evenings is going to be for us. Just for the two of us and nobody else interfering. It won't be for my friends or my buddies. It'll one of those evening nights, that'll be for us. I promise you that. Yeah. Yeah, you see, even she's laughing. You see, if I would have proposed to her in that way, what do you suppose would have happened? You see, she'd have taken the ring and given it right back to me and said, you can go right out the door and keep on going, right? Because that doesn't sound like a very completely committed relationship, does it? But yet, I see, we laugh about that and it sounds kind of funny, but then I wonder, how many of us in our relationship with Jesus have done that very thing? And we've kind of compartmentalized our lives and we said, well, yes, Jesus, I love you with all my heart and I'm completely committed to you and I'm going to give you every Sunday. And then one night a week, that Wednesday night, I'm going to be there and I'm going to commit to that. But then, I've got the rest of my life that I've got to take care of. And so I'm completely committed to giving you a couple of hours on Sunday and an hour on Wednesday. And wow, what a great relationship this is going to be. And Jesus would say, that's not what I'm looking for. Because I'm looking for a completely committed relationship with you. But here's the other part of that we have to understand. That completely committed relationship with Jesus has got to be on His terms, not on ours. You see, I think that what happens to a lot of Christians is that we're content to give part of our life to Jesus, but then there's those parts that we're not really willing to sacrifice and let go of. And so we say to Jesus things like, yes, I'm completely committed to you, but then you need to understand this part of my life, you got to stay out of. Now, of course, we don't say it to Him in those words, do we? But yet, isn't that oftentimes what our actions really tell Him? See? And so we compartmentalize our lives into the religious part, where we go to church and that kind of thing, and then there's the secular part, where we do all the other things. And for many folks, they try really, really hard to make sure that the two don't ever mix. Wherein Jesus says, no, it can't be that way. If you're going to follow Me, then it's got to be your total, complete life. All of it. Jesus doesn't want just part of us. He wants all of us. You see? He wants our home life. He wants our work, our job. He wants our marriage. He wants our school life. He wants it all. Even our recreation. He wants our finances. You see? He wants everything. To be completely committed to Him. So that He's the one who gets to decide how we do those things in our lives from day to day. Not where we say, well, Jesus, I'm willing to do this, but I'm not willing to do that. I'm willing to take care of this, but I'm not willing to take care of that. I'm willing to give You this, but I'm not willing to give You that. And I think sometimes we do that. We want selective commitment. And yet Jesus calls upon us for total and complete commitment. We want customized Christianity where we can kind of make Jesus into what we want Him to be instead of who He really is. But Jesus says, if you hold to My teachings, then you are truly My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold to My teachings. See, we want that compartmentalized relationship when Jesus wants all or nothing. And He says to us in Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and his mother and his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot, notice the prohibitive statement here, he cannot be My disciple. Jesus doesn't want a relationship where we define it and we say, here's what I'm going to give and nothing more. Jesus wants a relationship where we totally die to ourselves and give Him everything. Where He defines the relationship. I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus this morning, but my challenge is for you to take a really good, hard look at your relationship with Jesus and see if there are some adjustments that you need to make in defining the relationship on Jesus' terms instead of your own. I know for myself personally, since beginning this study, that I've had to make some personal adjustments in my own life. And I'm challenging you to do the same thing. And nowhere in this series of lessons and all these things we're going to be talking about will you ever hear me even remotely indicate that this is easy to do. Because it's not. It's not easy. But the rewards of doing so are tremendous. Because it goes back to our relationship with Him. And then it all really comes down to one vitally important issue. And that has to do with the text that Brandon read for us as we began this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. And it's what I refer to as on that day. On that day, which is going to be the most important day of our lives. Because on that day is where we'll be determined where we spend eternity, on that day. See? So it is the most important day of our lives. And Jesus says that on that day, many will say to Me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many wonderful works. And what we have to understand is that Jesus is not impressed by a long list of credentials that we present to Him on that day and say, look at all the things that I did for you, Jesus. Because it's not a matter of all the things that we do for Him. It's a matter of us living and loving Him from our heart. You see? Because if all the things that we do are not from the heart, then we may as well not do any of them. Because in this relationship that Jesus is defining, He says, I want your heart. That we are to love Him from the heart. You see? Give Him everything. You see, we have to understand, we're not going to get to heaven by doing a bunch of works and by a long list of credentials. We're going to get there because of who Jesus is. Salvation is not gained by those works, and it's not gained by the name on the building that we go and worship at. Salvation is gained by grace through our commitment to Jesus. See? In other words, I don't do the things that I do in my relationship, in my marriage with Cindy, in order to try to earn her love and hope that someday on that day that she will love me back. I do those things because of our love, because I love her, and I want to please her. I want to make her happy because of our relationship. And that's what God wants from us. Jesus wants that kind of a relationship, that we are living for Him because of our relationship with Him, not in order to simply be saved. You see, it really, really is all about the relationship that we have with Jesus, but that relationship being defined on His terms, not ours. And so, here's a question. Here's a question that I really want, as we begin this study, that I really want you to wrestle with. And I use that word, you know, intently. I want you to wrestle with this question. On that day, what will you hear? Will you hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into this rest that I prepared for you. Or will you hear, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoer. What will you hear on that day? What I'm suggesting to you, it will depend on whether or not you're a fan or whether you are a follower. It will depend on your relationship with Jesus. So what will you hear? I want you to think about that question really hard. And I want you to think about it while we're singing our invitation song. The song that we're going to be singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. And as we sing that song, I want you to be thinking about it. Have you decided to truly follow Jesus in your life and have that kind of a relationship? I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to respond to the Lord's invitation. If there's something going on in your life that's maybe you need some adjusting of something in your life to help you to really redefine that relationship on Jesus' terms. Maybe there's some things that you've not been willing at this point to give up and to give to Jesus, and you need some help or prayers for that, then let us know. Maybe someone here this morning who's ready to give their life to Jesus, to become a follower of His for the first time. That you're not a Christian now, that you're ready to give your life to Him. If that's where you are this morning, then you need to call upon Jesus as your Lord. Confess Him as that. repent of the sin that's been separating you from Him and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now, this morning. You don't have to wait. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up. And Ted will be in the back if you'd like to have a private conversation or prayer with him back there. And he'll be there to receive you. I want you to really seriously think about where you are in this, as I referred to, a game of life. Are you in the stands cheering, saying, we're number one? Or are you on the field, sacrificing for Jesus? Let's stand together and sing.